For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Cody, I got a question for you.
What it do, boom.
Have you ever taken a CBD product hoping that it would relieve stress or help you sleep?
Yes, sir.
Were you disappointed?
Yes, sir.
Well, Via Hemp Company is dedicated to crafting high-strength hemp products you can actually feel. Get this. They even have a legal THC product that they can ship to your door in all 50 states. So you can get the THC and the CBD combined in this product. These guys have crafted products that promote specific effects such as sleep, pain relief, and even energy. Whether you want gummies, topicals, vapes, or drops, they got you. So head over to their site and improve your daily routine with Via Hemp Company. Visit viahemp.com and use code K100 for 50% off your first order. That's viahemp.com and K100 for 50% off your first order. I love the Bliss gummies. The Bliss gummies are great to sleep to, great relaxation. I'm very fond of these products. I'm a big fan of CBD. CBD helps you sleep. It helps pain relief. They got everything. They got sleep, energy, all of it. And I've tried them all, and they're all great. But I love the Bliss is excellent.
So at the beginning, when DI was asking me if I had to, I tried other CBD products I worked, and I told them no. That wasn't part of the read. That's the truth. The reason I like this because it has some THC in it. You know what I'm saying? And it gives you that nice little buzz. But I right here have this, I don't know if you can see it, which is the pink lemonade.
And the Cloud 9.
Yeah. This is very nice. This is very,
Cloud 9
very
is excellent
nice.
Too. Bliss and Cloud 9 are my favorites.
And so, like we've said before, this is stuff we try ourselves. We're not just here hawking it. So, you know, if you want to sleep good, if you want to, you know, what was the other ones that they have?
They give you energy. They can give you focus. Or there's some like the Cloud 9 you can just chill with.
If you want to get,
I'm on Cloud 9 right now.
If you want to get, if you want to get sleep, like extra sleep, hit the Cloud 9 or the Bliss, and you'll go to sleep earlier. You can, it'll make you feel good, and you'll get a good night's sleep. Because I've done it numerous times, and I love this product.
Yeah, and if you don't take, or if you don't have gummies too often, or drops or anything like that, I actually have these, the low dose gummies here that I just got this week, and they're white peach. The taste is good, and you can take one, eat one, whatever, and you're good. You're not drowsy.
Bro, that's the first time I've ever heard of that low dose.
Yeah,
I should have been taking that way back. I always get effed up on, you know, edibles. Yeah.
All right. I like those a lot.
So, yo, get your gummies, get your sleep on, buy a hemp company. Boom.
Next is from Hornet Gallowagger, and the subject is Tony Khan versus Kenny Omega. It's May 13th, and the morning news came out that the game designer of AEW Fight Forever, Brian Williams, has quit. Yeah. Has quit Ukes and has taken a position at 2K. Basically,
Wait one second. Who's this guy, Brian Williams?
He was designing the AEW video game. He was the top guy, I guess.
Wow. Basically, this is like when a movie director disowns the movie before it comes out. I'm a fan of AEW, but there's not a chance that I will spend a penny on the game, as it seems like a surefire disaster. What I'd like to know is this. Will this cause heat between Tony and Kenny? It's been well known since day one that if something works in AEW, Tony Khan will be right there at the media scrums taking 100% credit, because nothing happens in AEW without my involvement, is his quote. When something really bad happens, he can't wait to get out there and start passing the blame, because if it was someone else's idea and I was against it, it was Tony Khan's dumbass idea to let Kenny Omega have creative input into AEW Fight Forever. That is after the AEW mobile game, which Kenny also had a hand in, which was a complete bomb. So you think this could lead to a fallout or heat between them both? P.S. Joe, what did you think of WWE 2K22?
I haven't played it. You know, I haven't played one of their games since 2K17, really.
Yeah. I don't know. I know nothing about the video game stuff at all. I don't play video games.
I'll tell you what's very weird to me. For a company who I'm sure 100% of that dressing room, or at least 90% of it, are gamers, and Kenny Omega ain't the only one. I'm sure that a lot of other people had input in this, including like the Young Bucks and whoever else plays games there, which is, like I said, probably everybody. And I'm going to assume Tony's a gamer too. With all these gamers that have been playing for life and have been playing wrestling games, and they want a game that probably... You know, they probably said, if I had a chance to make my own game, this is how I would make it. I don't know how they fucked this up. You know what I'm saying? So I really don't know what's going on over there.
Well, it seems like there's been disagreements between Kenny and the development team that I believe Billy has talked about. It's been reported online as well.
Well, the thing
is
that
I paid attention to it. That's why I'm not.
Well, bro, you're getting a bunch of gamers into video game design.
Right.
I mean, you would kind of maybe want people with experience in that, other than just their experiences playing video games. So what, you know, I don't know.
They wanted some fresh eyes with other ideas. You know, I'm just saying, for all these guys that have been playing video games all their lives and wrestling video games all their lives, because, you know, they all played wrestling games, and, you know, you would think they'd have something to contribute. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, right.
So it ain't like a bunch of guys. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't either.
Everyone, but it doesn't seem it's taking forever to make, and I'm hearing it's taking a lot of money to make. And now we're hearing this guy fucking quit. We don't know why.
Everybody always says, just real quick, Disco, that the games you guys were in back then, WCW, NWO, Revenge, and the WWE's No Mercy game, they had the same game engine. They were easy as shit to play. You had, you know, just combo buttons. Oh, I want to do a suplex. Oh, I want to do this. Everybody loved those games and the storylines in them. But since then, no one has even thought to, like, copy that. That's what people... That's, if you ask anyone what their favorite wrestling game is, they're going to say No Mercy or WCW versus NWO. And that's fucking 25 years ago.
You know? That is true, because I get a lot of people tell me that, even though they're not games I played.
Yeah.
Next is from Juan Meza, and the subject is Worst Person to Work With or Avoid. Hello, Conan, Dion, and Joe. I don't know if you guys have gotten this question in the past. If you have, I apologize. During the time you guys worked in WCW, is there ever a person you guys never did like working with or would try to avoid working with? Or for Conan, was there anybody in Lucha Libre you would avoid working with? Thanks again for the time, guys. Not really. Because it was pretty simple with me. If there was a guy that I was working against, it wasn't, you know, if it wasn't like Eddie Guerrero. Like, perfect example, me and Beefcake had, like, two matches. Neither of them stunk, and he forgot, like, a lot of the spots, right? But it's like, I wouldn't be, like, I wouldn't want to work him again. If I were to work him, we'd try to make it right and stuff. There wasn't anybody that I said, I don't want to work that guy. You know, because if there's a bigger guy, that would be difficult working. I know I'm going to take a bunch of bumps. I take the bumps.
About,
you know, no big deal, because I bumped a lot, you know, and I bumped for everybody. So it's like, if I had to take more bumps for working for a guy and would have less offense, it's like, all right, fine. That's how this match is going to go then. You know?
Would you have had a problem getting back in the ring with Chronic after they dropped you on your neck?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. I would have just told him we're not doing that again.
Yeah. Do you ever have to, because I know you, from interviews I've done with you, that you had some dislike for working with Public Enemy. Did you ever tell them, I don't want to do this triple table spot or anything like that?
No, we just did it because you're working with them. You wouldn't want to really, you know, you're not a, like the thing, you know, you wouldn't really have a good match with them, but it's not like, okay, I got to work them. Okay, we got to work them. I mean, the guy says, like, who are you trying to avoid or not? No, we never
whatever,
did that.
Avoid,
you just make it work, you know? So, whatever.
Conan?
Yeah, I never not avoided anybody, but in WCW, I'd prefer not to work with the Yetai.
Right.
Fucking, what's this guy's name? Van Hammer.
Right. Van Hammer screwed up the spot, and everybody. Remember, we went over in depth on that spot that I did with Van Hammer.
Swinging neck break.
Where people try to blame it on me, but it's, yo.
Bro,
but,
he fucked me up by throwing Juventud Guerrera and not protecting him, and I tore up my tricep. Another guy that was not fun to work with, and this was more of a styles clash, and his ego was one man gang. Remember that guy, Sergeant Scott Pittman or whatever his
fucking name? Craig Pittman. Yeah.
He was not a joy to work with either.
No.
So there were guys I'd rather not work with, but avoid. I never said, hey, I don't want to work with this guy or avoided them. You know what I'm saying?
What was wrong with Pittman? He just wasn't any good, or he was stiff? Or
yeah, he was kind of stiff, and like there was a styles clash.
Yeah, you know? Because he did some MMA stuff, so I remember he always
that. He wasn't doing MMA with me. He was just doing suplexes and shit, and just we didn't have good chemistry.
Next, some Xavier. The subject is hard to defend. Hey, Conan, Joe. Hey, Conan, JoJo, and Conversation Terrorists. I find it hard and hard to defend AEW to my wrestling group TXT friends. What does that mean? Like, oh, group text friends.
Yeah.
We bust each other's balls, but it's me against three others who pro WWE. Anyways, did you see after the cameras are off the bit with that geek Hook, the clown Danhausen, and CM Punk? I like a good after the cameras are funny, pull the curtain back, but this little bit doesn't seem too far off in the future, having Hook beat CM Punk down the road. What are your thoughts? I didn't see this. Just the fact that Hook is working with Danhausen now, I think is, you know, kind of, I don't get it, you know, whatever.
Do you want to see it?
I don't care. I don't care to.
Look, it says CM Punk versus Hook after Dynamite, 18 minutes long.
They probably just did 18, forget it. They probably just did, bro, in WWE, they do that all the time for shows. Afterwards, remember when like Fandango was doing stuff with John, when Fandango first started, he beat Jericho, he was doing a bunch of the post-match stuff like with Cena and everything, you know, whatever. It's just, that's house show stuff. That's all that is.
Basically, you know? Hook choked him out, right? Like Taz. Mm-hmm. And then Punk did a stretcher job, from what it says here. So I guess the guy's point is, he's wrestling for the title in the main event. Why is he doing this in front of the crowd with lower card guys?
Right.
You know.
But it's for the crowd. But they liked it. That crowd, dark, likes Danhausen. They like Hook. They like CM Punk. So they all just did something together, and that's for their fans. You know. So, I mean, it's not on TV. You know, it's whatever.
Yeah.
So that's shit like that's no big deal. Next is, but first of all, when they do stuff like that. Usually just send some like we used to do post-match stuff like dark and like whenever I was involved in it, bro, we didn't call anything out in the back. It was kind of like just you do it on the fly, call in the ring, bump, this guy, but you know, maybe he'll come back in, he'll give me his finisher again. Maybe he'll come back in, he'll give it to me again. Maybe I'll take his finisher five times in the span of 10 minutes. But it's just like you just call it on the fly and you just see how the crowd's reacting. When the crowd starts getting, you know, you just end it. So that's all that is. I used to do, you know, I'm sure that's how it works all the time, usually. Next is from Mike and Sirleaf, and the subject is, how are they not backing up the truck? K100, what's going on? Allegedly, things have not improved with MJF and Tony Khan since Ariel Helwani interview. MJF is recognizing his value compared to those free agents that have rolled in over the last 2 years. Shout out to Billy Body for the figures on the pod. Wouldn't it be smart to try and bring him up to market value even if the contract doesn't come up until 24? It's kind of like a hot rookie deal in the NBA or NFL where the front office tries to extend a deal before they go on the market and they become more expensive. Compare that with the departure of Bret White's. It's hard to not see choppy waters ahead for the promotion. Would love your thoughts on the developments. Keep doing what you're doing. MJF is using all the tools that he has at his disposal to make as much money as possible when his contract comes up, is all he's doing right now. That's what I guess that Tony Khan offered him an extension to 2026, but I guess the story is all MJF wanted was more money for the next 2 years and then renegotiate when the deal's up.
Right.
So
he wants a raise right
MJF
now.
MJF wants a raise right now. He wants a raise. And it's like, what do you, you know, he's got these guys kind of by the balls because you do know, this is a guy that you don't want to lose. You know, he's a cornerstone of their promotion.
Yeah.
You know, they
He was probably underpaid because he was, you know, when he came in, nobody knew him.
Yeah.
And he's probably seeing the money he could be making. He's saying, why am I taking this money when I can, you know what I'm saying? So
didn't he have similar problems? Didn't he have similar problems with MLW because he came in at a low, you know, wage or whatever and wanted more from him?
Bro, they weren't paying him shit. Yeah. That's not even the same thing.
So let me.
I guarantee you, he like knows a guy like Kevin Nash is always saying, "Hey, when you're doing good, that's when you go ask for more money."
Right.
You know, as far as like, I mean, he's the only guy in the business right now that's talking about his contract status on the air that they're letting him do it. I don't know if they're letting him do it, but he just does it, and he talks about how they basically going to walk in 2 years.
Yeah, let me.
It's fascinating that you know you would think. They would have like a conversation where they don't do it, like they punish him.
Yeah, but he does it so much that I almost think it's a work.
So do I. Like, right. Yeah. So do I.
Why does Tony keep letting him bury him like this?
So let me read to you. He did an interview with Barstool's Wrestling with Brandon Walker, who we've talked about before.
That's the guy that wants to come on. The guy wants to come on our podcast.
Because if I were Tony, I'd say, bro, cut it out.
Yeah.
All right. If you don't want to sign and you don't want to renegotiate, you don't got to keep bringing it up and burying me and making me look like a bitch.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm giving you good money. I'm giving you a good spot. All right, we'll wait till you're done, but quit bringing. So there's something a little bit weird there. But anyways.
So he says.
What if, okay, let me ask you a question, Conan. Let's say you have that conversation with him. This is you we're talking about.
Right.
You have the conversation with him. Okay, you just took over AEW, okay? And this is your first, you pulled this guy aside and said, hey, you just, like you just said. What if he goes in and does the very next TV? What do you do?
Well, my whole thing would be, all right, well, first of all, I would have already renegotiated with him, but I guess he doesn't want to, right?
Right.
And then I said, all right, well, then I'd keep him off TV. You know, if I'm telling you not to do something, you're going to do it. Then what worth are you to me, bro? You're not listening to what I'm telling you. And I may dock your pay because I'm not paying you to ask you what you want to do. I'm paying you to tell you what you got to do for my promotion, not for your well-being, but for my fucking promotion.
Like, so for instance, what I wonder if in their bro, because you know these contracts that they have, like, Tony doesn't own the IP on these guys.
Right.
Like, he lets them do it. Okay, so
that doesn't mean he can go out on live TV and say whatever the fuck he wants.
But does it? What if there's something if there's nothing like that in the contract? Okay, now if there is something in the contract, you could get, can you get him on a breach? If he goes, he specifically does something that you tell him not to do on live TV.
Now we're getting nuanced, but I'm just talking in general. If talent is going into business for themselves,
take him off TV.
After you asked him not to, all right, and you're willing to give him more money, but he doesn't want to, and he's still going to go out there and bury you, we got a problem.
Right. And I got to take him off TV. And it's like, bro, because why am I going to sit here and push you on TV for you to just go to the company to go to WWE
for the next 2 years? You know,
what's the point?
You're going to leave anyways. Well, fuck it. Stay. I'll cool you off for a year and a half. Then you can leave.
Yeah.
Well, here's what he said on this podcast.
I'll give it to somebody that's going to want to listen to what I'm telling them. And it's as simple as that. That's why Cena was so over with Vince. Yeah. Right. He was a company guy, bro. He doesn't have to worry about that shit. And CM Punk wasn't, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So he says, let me explain something to you. By 2024, Daddy is going to make more money than the Hardys have made in their entire run. Once you get into Long Island, you don't want to leave Long Island, so what does it matter if the traffic is bad coming out? I can't wait to leave this company. How about that? Oh, no. Hope that doesn't ruffle any feathers in the office. Oh, no. Who said AEW? I didn't say AEW. You just said AEW. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I'm in a shit mood. Maybe I hate my boss. Maybe I fucking love my boss. Who knows? I think there's a lot of stuff going on in this company that is inaccurate. I think all these ex-fucking WWE guys are making an absurd amount of money when, quite frankly, they can't sniff my fucking jock when it comes to the ratings I pull in whenever I am on screen. I think they can all go to hell. I think that somebody in the upper management has a problem with me, and it's very obvious if you see what I'm dealing with week to week. Now, does that sound like a shooter or work? You know, I think that sounds like a work a little bit.
Well, based on what he's doing on TV, there's no problem. I mean, they're pushing they put this guy on TV every week, and he never has to wrestle.
Yeah,
and he's like being pushed as the number one heel. It's like, you know, so it's like, I mean, bro, he is doing a fantastic job of making him like the hottest free agent in 2024 when it's time for him to make more money. And he's doing it in a very brilliant way. So he's letting them walk all over him. So he's just continue to stomp a mud hole in them and walk it dry is what he's doing to them until they put their foot down and say, you got to cut this shit out. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Well, what do you think?
Yeah, it's either that or this is a very elaborate ruse and right. they've already come to a deal and nobody knows about it and they're just trolling WWE. And at the end, you know, I just can't believe that anybody would let somebody talk about their company like that when they're getting pushed like that.
Yeah, because think about that. Here's another angle. What if they're hurt that Cody left and made them look bad? And this is all an elaborate way to make WWE look bad when his time comes up and he re-signs with AEW.
Maybe.
Possibly, you know?
Right.
So next is from Anthony.
It's the wrestling business, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible. It's promotional wars.
MJF is a great worker and Tony's a worker himself.
Next is from Anthony Vaccaro on the subject is AEW. I'm sitting here watching Darby and Jeff have this match on Dynamite and thinking, why, what did I miss that these dudes are seemingly trying to legit hurt themselves? Not the other guy. Why do you think Jeff feels like he has to do this? What is Tony Khan having the match and many others on TV for no reason or buildup? Haven't either organizations done similar things and where are they now? Thanks, boys. My answer to this is just like I'm not in the mindset of Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin. I don't think like that. I don't work like that. I'm a safety first guy. I'm not a daredevil. I'm not a risk taker. So I'm critical of when they do that stuff, but they just are wired different than me the way they want to entertain people. And so I can't really, what am I going to do? I've talked about this before and Conan keeps bringing it up and you're right. You can't talk these guys out of this stuff. So why even bother pontificating about it? Like, you know, these guys, like, you know, they get hurt. They haven't killed themselves. Like, I think it's pretty obvious they're not going to kill themselves. Okay. And Darby Allin's like broken his ankle. Jeff's gotten, you know, thing, but like, you know, the risk getting hurt. And if you're not scared of getting hurt, that's what daredevils do. They're not scared of getting. I mean, bro, look at the crashes that Evil Knievel had. But we grew up with Evil Knievel, right, Conan? Remember some of those crashes? And then you wonder, how the F is this guy doing this again after having a crash like that?
None. He did it at a late age, too.
Right.
But and here's the thing, bro.
Yeah.
They really are dead. They're devils. So
yeah.
Darby's a skateboarder, okay? And he does daredevil right. shit.
Conan, pull your mic there.
And Jeff Hardy, I remember one time Road Dogg and what's this guy's name? Ron Killings went to his house, right? Mm-hmm. They were telling me he had this weird aluminum figures all around his house, and he had like a motocross track.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So in his backyard for in his free time, he's fucking on a motorbike and motorcycle.
Jumping
and
hills.
Jumping. And he's an adrenaline junkie for real. Like this other guy, TJ Black or PJ Black. What's the fucking guy's name that was in Lucha Underground and
PJ,
then he was in Ring of Honor?
PJ Black, yeah.
PJ Black, I saw a video of him skydiving. Like live, you know, and with the fucking camera. And I was like, holy shit, that's pretty fucking ballsy. So these guys are adrenaline junkies for real. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so when you got these two adrenaline junkies from, you know, the master from the past, Jeff Hardy, with the new guy from the – and people want to see that dream match. They probably met each other. Darby was probably – you could tell he was influenced by Jeff just by his look and his demeanor. You know, and Jeff's going to go out there, and that's what he does. You know, he entertains. He's an entertainer. You know, and he took his own bumps, and fuck it. It is what it is.
Yep.
Just like Sting. He's doing shit he doesn't need to do, but he's probably, I'm back here. I'm not doing shit. I'm getting paid a lot of money, and fuck it. Let me do something, you know?
Like,
fuck
yeah, it's it, like this go. Is what these guys do around here. They do big spots and stuff. Maybe
right, we're wrestling, like,
maybe,
bro.
Yeah, maybe I right. should do this, too.
You know, was like, yeah, Sting right. wants to feel the adrenaline again. He wants to hear the cheering. He doesn't want to travel all the way to California to be there 8 hours and sitting in catering and then finally go out there and just stand there yeah, in the rafters with Darby Allin like they look like their father and son trick-or-treating, you know.
Right. Next is from Matthews. Last is from Matthew Hansen. The subject is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Hello, D.I. Conan and Joe. What are your thoughts on the recent inductees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Okay, I'm going to read you these names. I had no idea this is. I'm reading this for the first time. Okay, Dolly Parton, Eminem, Lionel Richie, Carly Simon, Duran Duran, the Eurythmics, and Pat Benatar. Okay, now the Eurythmics, I don't know, but you could absolutely make a case for all the other ones. Pat Benatar, definitely. She was a cultural icon when she first started. Dolly Parton, another cultural icon because she had big boobs and she could sing. Eminem, a culture icon because he was kind of like the first. Would you consider him like the first mainstream white rapper? Or was there one before him?
Well, Vanilla Ice was before him.
That wasn't really, Vanilla Ice wasn't really rap like Eminem. Like, rap songs were like social issues and stuff. And
yeah,
you know,
Vanilla
like,
Ice
you know,
was the first one, but Eminem was right. the best,
the first Hall of Fame white rapper.
Yeah.
Best way to describe it.
And at that time, there was a lot of white guys trying to make it in hip hop, but Eminem happened to be first. So once he made it, the rest of the guys were all looked at as copycats.
He happened to be the best.
But the other guys always got stuck with that label. That they were like copycats, you know.
Lionel Richie definitely, because All Night Long is one of my favorite songs. Carly Simon definitely, because Nobody Does It Better is one
of
my favorite songs.
Plus, not only that, wait. Let's not minimize all the work he did with the Commodores. He was incredible with the Commodores. Yeah.
Carly Simon, Nobody Does It Better, Spider Love Me. So, you know, she's great.
She's written a million songs that you've heard and over and over, and she had her own hits.
Duran was constantly at the top of the charts when they came out with a new song. Like the Duran Duran song go number one. Duran Duran song go number one. You know, they had a lot of number one hits. You know, so yeah.
You reminded me of the drummer. Nothing.
That's a cheap shot. the Eurythmics. I don't. Sweet Dreams Are Made of This. Is that the Eurythmics, one song, right?
Was that?
Yeah.
It?
So I mean, I don't. I can't.
That
I,
sounds
I,
like
I can't offhand
Joe
name
sound,
name two Eurythmics songs.
What other group? What other hits did they have, Joe?
Let me see. I don't know them, but let's see. I just know Sweet Dreams. Pop duo consisting of Annie Lennox and Dave Stewart. Love is a Stranger. Here Comes the Rain Again. There Must Be an Angel Playing with My Heart. So that's their hit singles.
Here Comes the Rain Again. I remember that one. Here Comes the Rain Again. Right. So they had like two hits. Mm. Okay.
Oh, here's another one. Would I Lie to You? Would I Lie to You? Okay. And then Sweet Dreams Are Made of This.
So those
that's
three.
Hall of Fame. Yeah, this is like the Wrestling Hall of Fame, where everybody that's ever been in the WWE system gets in the Hall of Fame pretty much.
Yeah,
but I'm not impressed with the Eurythmics being on that list.
Definitely
the other
sounds like a group you listen to. What do you think about Nickelback?
Oh, yeah, here's a question. Right, let me finish this. So do you see Nickelback as a future inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Bro, I do, because they have a ton of good songs. I don't know why they get so much hate. Why does Nickelback get so much hate?
I don't know. People just think they suck, and they're
unbelievable.
They're like,
they don't.
They're
suck.
Like Roman Reigns back in the day when people thought he was overpushed. They're like the Roman Reigns of rock music. People think they're overpushed. I remember when they did halftime at the halftime show at Thanksgiving in Detroit, and there was a petition of like you know millions of people that didn't want them to perform. You know, so they're just very very hated. But I think because of their success, they'll get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know. They've had a lot of big albums.
If the Eurythmics are in, there's no doubt Nickelback should be in. There's no doubt. You know, so that you know, but that's an interest. They are a polarizing band. I'd never, you know, it's funny too. Just a little funny. So I think I've told the story. It's been years, but when I did that, I did a festival. There was a rock festival in Australia, and Andrew McManus flew over me, Borash, Scott Steiner, and Nathan Jones already lived there, and we were at a rock festival with Midnight Oil, Pink, Nickelback, Billy Idol was there, and Puppetry of the Penis was there. Okay, so this is very weird. Puppetry of the Penis, they're an act that did like they go on stage and they do penis tricks.
It sounds hard.
Okay, to the point that they went and like they became a thing. This is 20 years ago. They became a thing, and their Puppetry of the Penis performs down the street from Sapphire in Vegas, okay, like they have a nightly gig, right?
Yeah.
But the one thing about that festival is like it's a rock festival, and thinking, oh my god, like Pink, Billy, you know, all these rockers, this is gonna be a party, right, bro? Backstage, all families, Nickelback with their kids, Pink, you know, Pink is there with her family, her mom and dad are there. It was like completely opposite. What you would expect if you're going to be backstage at a rock festival where all the rockers are, completely opposite of what you would expect. Everybody's with their family and kids. Nobody was partying or smoking dope. It was like a family atmosphere. I was like, all right, this is kind of weird. That's not what I expected, but I got to meet like Billy. I got to meet all these guys, and they were cool. To the point that Nickelback came into the club years later. They came in the Sapphire one night. I came back door, and I was like, hey, I sat there and I talked, like I hung out with the guy for like a half hour. And sit there, shot the shit with him about the, you know, he was a cool guy. The lead singer guy with the long hair. What's his name?
Chad Kroger.
Yeah, cool, super cool guy. He's just friendly, you know. What, like they, you know, when our club, we have a big section in the middle, and it's like, you know, when the rockers, they want anybody near them. So, bro, they didn't like need bodyguards or anything. They were just like, you know, laid back, you know, just it's cool guys. And it was but yeah, they're definitely, they should be in the Hall of Fame. There's a lot of good songs, a lot of good lyrics too. So, whatever. And that's been the mailbag.
Enjoy the rest of the show. Boom.
Cody, guess what?
What it do? Boom.
We got a new sponsor, Clover Live.
This time, yeah.
Clover Live. Clover Live helps you find people nearby who share your interests and want to chat now. You can live stream your special moments, live chat with your friends, make video calls, and watch the hottest streams. Whether you're into sports talk, music, or just meeting beautiful people, Clover has something for everyone. Drinking, dancing, gaming, chatting, just one tap to go live or watch others' lives. Whether you're out on errands or home alone, anytime, night or day, there is always someone to share your moment. Some of the app features are live chats with thousands of talented streamers locally and worldwide, and you can go live instantly and build a following and earn cash. You can chat with other users and meet new people, and private live video chat. It's a great way to make friends. Every night's a party. Find your tribe. Find people that share the same interests as you. Kill boredom with friends on the go wherever you are. It's way more fun than other streaming apps, so don't miss out. It's all happening over at Clover Live. Don't wait. Join Clover Live. Broadcast your life, gain new followers, get gifts, and be an icon. Download Clover on App Store or Google Play. So here's some testimonials. Streaming on Clover has been so much fun. I'm very thankful that I get to be part of the community. Time just flies by, and it's nothing short of wonderful. Another says, I got sick of swiping random profiles on dating apps. I find Clover's live streaming where I can intently interact with real people, not bots. You know, there's a big thing about bots these days. Elon Musk is trying to buy Twitter, and they said there's only 5% bots, and they found out that Joe Biden, half his followers are fake. Somebody else said it's fun to go live and meet new friends. I've already hung out with a few Clover friends. Great app to play around on. Another one said Clover's more than a dating app. It's a singles app. Come join the party and make new friends while you find a date. Whether it's making new friends, dating, or finding love, Clover can be used by everyone.
I have met a few people. Actually, I met some fans of this show. So that was interesting. And just trying to spread the word about it.
Yeah. Is there a Get My Go forum where people can go and, like, listeners of Get My Go can chat and, like, share all their wonderful experiences with each other? Can you find that?
No Get My Go forum yet, but I would recommend it to Mike Durbin, as he is single and he's ready to mingle. So check out the Clover dating app.
Well, check it out on the Google Play. Download Clover on App Store or Google Play.
Yeah, so, yo, you want some, you know, there's a lot of stuff there. People on there talking about sports, about wrestling. If you want a date, if you're into the singles thing, you know, go check it out. It's a new chat thing that Joe told us about. And he put it over, so we're giving it a try. Join it. Let us know your experiences with it. I'm going to get on it this week just to kind of be a voyeur and lurk in and listen on what's going on. So get your dating on, get your sports friends on here, meet new people. A lot of people lonely during the pandemic, a lot of lonely wrestling fans, that's for damn sure. Go check it out at Clover. Boom.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.